For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The John Kincaid Show on The Fanatic. We're halfway home on this Monday. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We appreciate you finding the show, hanging out with us as much as you do. Those who stream all day long, hanging out on our YouTube channel. And we appreciate you, too. And some of them, even in the old-fashioned route of going to 97.5thefanatic.com and just going to the website and click and play. Like Doc does.
You can do that. Yeah.
He's still got the desktop.
He's got the transistor under the pillow when a late Phillies game happens.
You know what? And when he turns it on, Bobby, he still can hear Steve Fredericks.
John, where's your phone at? Your cell phone.
Right here?
Oh, look, that's a radio.
Yeah, it is.
Boom.
It's a beautiful thing, baby.
2022.
That's a
nice phone. You got a radio.
It's a nice Phillies cover.
We got apps.
Olivia made me. Love that.
Got you covered.
Very much. By the way, I think that's against all the rules, by the way.
What?
The phones she made me.
What
she goes to a site.
Rules?
Well, they don't have.
Oh, the license?
I don't think they got the license.
Well, what do you care?
Yeah, I don't care. Unless they just come and the phone police confiscate it.
Yeah, the license would probably, you know, double the value of
I
the
guarantee
case.
It. So maybe she can make you one if you
don't. We don't need no stinking licenses.
You're living that bad boy life.
That's yeah, right. Is. I'm Johnny just
Kincaid,
a rebel.
The bad boy of phone cases.
I'm a rebel, baby. Pat, I want to go to Dylan's McKinney's chart.
Hello.
McKinnon, I should say, excuse
Who?
Me. And
just some respect for the D-train, and you'll
the
get
D-train.
Run over.
And just, I want to hit some of these spots, and I know that there are a couple of them here, where I want you to, I want you to hear it. I want you to, we're going to, at the end of it, say whether someone's lying or telling the truth.
I can tell you, there's probably going to be a lot of BS coming out of me for an answer.
Okay. Well, first off, I want to hear cut one, Pat, where Doc Rivers says, winning is hard.
We're not the only organization. You know, winning is hard to move on. And we had an opportunity last year. Didn't get it done. This year was tough. I mean, obviously, with all the injuries and stuff. So the answers are easy. It's hard. We're right there. We've put ourselves in the argument. And that's all you can do. And then you come back and you keep working at it until you get over the mountain. But just because maybe you want us to, and the fans definitely do, doesn't mean, okay, it happens. Milwaukee, you look at them, took 2 and 3 years to get over the mountain. You know, they kept failing. And then they did. So that's just the way it works. It's not guaranteed to anybody.
Pat, when you heard what he said, the lie detector is hooked. Liar, is he telling the truth?
He's telling the truth.
Bob?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. That one was fine. Truth.
Lie.
What did he
that
lie about?
Was the truth.
They are not ascending. They're sitting on the mountain. They set up a campsite. They're not ascending the mountain. Comparing it to what, like, Milwaukee does? No, Milwaukee was ascending the mountain, was progressing further, was fine-tuning things, climbing up further. This team's not doing that. And the thing is, the winning is hard. We're right there. I will tell you this, only in Philadelphia are people saying the Sixers are right there to win a championship. Any one of the national media that covers the NBA, they're not talking about the Sixers the way this city does. I think there's a lot of localized bias here where we want it to happen.
I think by right there it isn't. If we run this team back, it's going to be. I think it's more of right there being, okay, we were one of the final eight teams. If we improve, if Joel Embiid was healthy, a lot of ifs. But if all those things go right, then they are right there. So I don't think there was a lie there. I was okay with everything that he said there.
Okay, Doc also talked about the off season.
I think it starts with individual development. We go through each player. We'll start that today with some of the guys. And Max wanted to meet today about his plans for next week. And I refused to meet with him today because I think he should take more off than a week. Then also as a staff, we go through, and I was telling our coaches, our players this today, you'd be amazed how much coaches go through yearly. Like, there's no suggestion that we've ever heard outwardly that we haven't already talked about a month ago. We discuss, we look at our team. Tough part is we don't know what we exactly have. So we look, the first thing is what we can do better. You know, that's what you do as a coach. That's what you should do as a player.
Player development. Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday. We talk about it all the time. Well, then you're talking about it and nothing's happening to it, so I call that a lie. Like, that's it. They're not developing players. This team doesn't develop players. This team doesn't develop talent.
Well, he didn't claim that, though.
Yes, he did. He said, we start player development. We talk about it. Yeah, if you
said we talk about it.
He says, if you thought about it, we talked about it yesterday.
I mean, Tyrese took probably one of the biggest developments in the entire NBA.
Yeah, okay. He was up there for most improved. So him, he's a great example.
Okay, how many step forward this year and how many step backward? Joel
outside of Tyrese,
Joel and
probably nobody.
Joel did.
I would say Paul Reed stuff.
I'm not even including Max contract players because they're already Max contract guys.
No, but I'm talking about he got him better, though.
Yeah, I think they're not developmental pieces. You know what I mean? They've already been paid.
So who else has gotten better?
Nobody outside of Tyrese, probably.
And I see people.
Maybe Paul Reed to a degree.
Yeah, I say Paul Reed.
Thibault's declined.
Yeah.
Korkmaz has declined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shake Milton.
I don't know if Thibault's declined. He's just the same.
No,
maybe.
I think his offensive game's declined.
I think he's gotten worse.
Okay, you're right.
So, I mean, player development?
Yeah, but Tyrese is a huge one. So, you know, you hopefully get another guy in here that can develop.
Well, you're saying, like, max players. He's going to be, in 2 years, Tyrese will be a max player. Or close to it.
Yeah, close to it.
I mean, player development? Like, when I hear Doc talk player development, Pat, I roll my eyes.
Yeah, but he's not. Like, in that, you're reading it differently than I am. I'm not reading it as him saying we're good at player development. I'm saying I read it as we talk about it. But
if you talk about something and don't do it.
Yeah, that's not a lie, though. That's saying we talk about it. We don't know what they're saying.
Well, they are doing it.
I don't have any faith in them to actually develop players, though. That's my problem.
Getting the wrong players that they're not developing.
I think what was fresh on his mind is, and what happens at every exit interview, they have a map planned out for each and every player. All right, here's your workout schedule. We will send coaches to you at the end of July to make sure you're doing it and to, you know, check on you and all that stuff. So, player development's laid out for them. It's up to the players in the offseason to develop what they have laid down for them.
Well, wouldn't all season, when you have opportunities to have a team, coach a team, develop a team, practice with a team, doesn't that then fall on them? I mean, offseason is on the player.
Sure.
To show up in the right mindset and to have done the work. But during the season, this team uses their coaching time, their practice time, almost less than any organization in the NBA, according to all reports.
But do you think
that's not player development.
But do you think another team or organization is going to get true development out of Furkan Korkmaz, Shake Milton, and some of these other guys that we're looking for from?
I'd love to see what Eric Spoelstra could do with any one of them.
I'd like to see Spoelstra.
He's got 8 undrafted free agents on his roster. I believe he could get more out of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do.
I think this is more a talent issue than a developmental issue.
Thibault intrigues me. I would love to see work done with him. Look, Korkmaz. I don't think he's better than Duncan Robinson. I just don't.
No, I don't either.
You know what I mean?
But he won't even play Duncan Robinson.
Well, they paid him $15
million. Yeah. And
Shake, 90, didn't they?
Shake Milton.
Yeah, something like that.
Shake Milton is what Shake Milton is. And, yeah, I think a lot of that falls on Shake Milton.
Daryl Morey had this analysis.
We didn't figure out if this was a lie or truth.
Well, no, I already said I think it's a lie.
Yeah,
because they don't develop.
Truth.
We have different ideas about what it means.
I think it's a truth. I didn't disagree with anything he said. I just don't think they have the guys.
See, I think if we talk about in a meeting and say, you know what, guys, we're going to really start planning out our show, putting work into segments, doing all this stuff, and we walk out of the meeting and then we don't do it, then that's a lie.
It's a lie only if we say that we're going to do it.
And he says they're going to do
but
it.
But you're outnumbered, and unfortunately, John,
yeah, I am.
Was the truth.
It was the truth.
Okay, Daryl Morey talked about James Harden as a player.
Look, James is a great player. Like, I don't think we need to get... He has the ability to score, pass. Yeah, he's a very good player. We're excited for the future with him.
Know what he does? Jamie, he did a little bit of your playbook there. He's a great player, and then he caught himself, and he goes, he's a really good player. Now, James is a really good player. He's not a great player.
If he comes
anymore,
if he's injured and comes back looking different next year, I think you can put him back in the great category.
That's not what he was being asked. He was being
asked. No, I know, but I'm just talking
about.
He's
not a great player.
He's a very good player.
And he said that when he corrected himself. He's a very good player. Yeah, he's been a very good player for his career, and I believe he's ascending towards being just a good player. I think it's a dissension down the line.
Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll see what this offseason tells us about his injury, about if it's age or whatever it may be. I think he's still a really good player. We'll see what next year brings. I think Daryl Morey believes what he said. It is funny how he went from great to really good.
In one day, because he caught himself.
Yeah.
He knows that you can't stand. He cannot sit behind a microphone and tell people James Harden's a great player, because when he had opportunities to show greatness, he refused to even take the opportunity. He didn't even shoot the damn ball.
So that shows he told the truth. He went from very good and corrected
it.
Himself.
Yeah, but he changed it.
Call it truth.
At the back end, he corrected himself to very good. And I think he's moving towards good. He's got a better chance to move to good than great from this point forward.
I think I disagree. Yeah. I mean, long term, yes. But if we're talking next year.
You think he can be a great NBA player again next year?
Yeah, I do.
Pat, where are you going?
I think he can be next year. I think long term.
Yeah, long term is where it changes.
Age tells you he's trending towards being from very good to good. But I am interested to see him next year with this team.
We are absolutely, though. It just shows we are absolutely on entirely different pages. Well,
what does everyone think about that? Was that a liar trick?
Well, I think you went 3-1. You went 3-1 against me again.
Again? Johnny, not
I think you did.
For you.
That.
Right, Bob?
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. You guys. Uh-huh. Now, the weird thing is, I'm just going to say, you guys heard a different press conference than the fans of this town.
John, it's nothing. I want to be more. I want to sit here and say that was a lie. I can't.
They got crushed. They got crushed for that press conference, and you guys just gave them thumbs up.
Maybe I didn't give a thumbs up. I said they weren't lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did a column not an hour ago said I don't see the vision that Daryl Morey has.
Yeah, I don't agree with them, but I don't think
they're lying. Yeah, like I left Thursday night's press conferences and Friday's press conferences going, ew. But when it comes to, is he telling the truth or is he fabricating? I don't think those were fabrications. I just don't think they have some of the pieces that are good enough. Like, the truth and lie thing is different to me than walking away satisfied with what they said.
That was a feel-good press conference if you listened to the two of them.
I didn't feel good.
I don't think the fan base did either, but it was like, we're going to be fine, guys. We didn't have enough time. We had some injury situation. It was very much like, dude, this doesn't happen fast, which is absolutely absurd on Doc's part. There was no expectation for me when I came here.
Well, nobody was picking a lie.
The thing is, though, when you keep talking, how does he say that behind a microphone?
But fundamentally, I think where we differ here is I believe they're a lot closer than you do.
No, there's no.
So the prism we view those press conferences through changes.
Yeah. Do you believe they are much closer? Do you believe that more? A year from now, if this team stays relatively the same, we're talking relatively same core, and you go get some role players and everything like that, next year we're talking about conference finals, baby, begin the night. Let's start previewing the conference finals. I'm not.
Yes, because you have one of the best players in the world, and you're always going to have a chance when you have that.
Well, I'll put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me. If you get role players, if you shore up that bench, if Joel Embiid stays healthy again, championships all come down to if this and if that. If Boston didn't get a resurgence from Al Horford, they wouldn't be where they are. You know, if Marcus Smart wasn't the best player, the best defensive player in the NBA, they aren't where they are.
Did you hear Chris Middleton
doesn't get hurt, Milwaukee probably wins that series. It's all ifs.
Do you hear Al talk about his coach and how that somebody saw a vision for his game and has gotten the most out of him?
Yeah.
And put him in a position to succeed. So is Doc doing that with this crew? Do you trust Doc to find the best vision?
I do. I wouldn't mind seeing him a full year with a set team. He got his second best player taken away from him this year. He had to totally figure out a different way to play basketball this year. You didn't have a point guard for 50-plus games this year.
Sitting home for the conference finals is the norm for Doc Rivers.
That being said,
that's the norm.
The offensive game plan in that Heat series was atrocious.
It wasn't good.
Terrible.
There was no counterpunch. There was no make the game easier for Joel type of thing. Like, his peripheral vision was gone in that series.
They routinely came out flat.
And they kept feeding him from the sides. Like, something so basic, it's like, why are you doing that if he can't see out of the sides of his eyes? Hey, like, that's basic stuff.
Yeah.
Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com.
Yeah, I got to feed him in front of his eyes where he can actually see.
I said from the first pass that he took with the mask on that you can't throw him bounce passes, remember?
Yeah.
And they never corrected that.
Yeah. And your count, but the thing is, that's what I'm saying is I can't count on them to, next year they'll get that all worked out. It's the norm for Doc Rivers' teams at the end of the year to have these kind of angsty discussions.
Yeah, it's been over a decade.
This is what his career
I'm not
has
justifying
been.
Doc.
Well, you got to count on him next year. He's the guy you count on.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the reality is he's going to be here.
Hey, it's way too nice to eat inside. Why don't you eat outside? Take the family out to PJ Willihan's. Great wings, burgers, crab cakes, sandwiches, craft beers, and more. How about on one of their beautiful decks, patios? We love our local PJs. Bob Cooney loves to bring us back to games that I enjoy from our childhood.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, you love Sesame Street.
Oh, absolutely.
You love the one of these things that just doesn't belong
is
here.
Is not like the other.
Yeah.
Yes. One of my favorite games, and I hardly ever lose at it.
Yeah, so if you watch these NBA playoffs, which all of us did, and a lot of the listeners out there did, the Sixers were number 8 out of the final 8. In my eyes, and it wasn't even close.
It's not even close.
And, Jamie makes the great point. Your best player was playing with one hand and one orbital fracture that wasn't broke, or one orbital bone that wasn't broken. That's true. But, like, when I watched the playoff romps yesterday in Phoenix, and Milwaukee got pounded pretty good yesterday, and whatever it may be, I did not see the effort, the movement, the fundamental good things that I saw from all the 7 other teams that were in the NBA playoffs.
I don't know. Phoenix looked like absolute dog crap last night.
Last night they did.
But there was more blowouts in these playoffs than I ever recall. Like 30-point blowouts.
Sure, and the Sixers were part of them, too.
Yeah.
You know?
So was Milwaukee, and so was Phoenix.
I hear you, but if you watch... I mean, you watch the Milwaukee series, Jamie. I mean, the Sixers aren't on an even level with Milwaukee now.
That was the Eastern Conference Championship.
And I'm not just talking about the way they score or what the score of the game was. I'm talking about the way the game is played. Like, there was no continuous stagnant offense from these teams, these other 7 teams that were in the playoffs. There wasn't just this way of basketball that made you scratch your head. And it's not because we watched the Sixers so up close. It's blatantly out there. It's blatantly out there that what they do doesn't work and they don't change it. And I just thought, watching all of these other teams, and look, Miami might turn out to be the next worst team in these playoffs.
I think Boston's going to smack them.
Boston might win the championship, and I texted another buddy of mine.
You've been saying that since beginning of the playoffs. You thought they could win the whole thing.
I texted my buddy Joey Merton. It's in my phone. I texted him before the playoffs started. I said Boston might win this whole thing.
You said it to us, too.
But yeah, it's just a style of playing. Maybe it's part of the organization, too. And I do think that the Sixers have very talented players. And I hear what Jamie's saying, that a move here, there, and health makes them closer. But, man, I don't know if it's organizationally or whatever it is. They just seem more than a step behind every other team that's been in these playoffs.
Okay, now I'm not trying to throw a rock here. You sound like what I'm saying.
No, yeah.
Like, I don't... Why do you have faith that it's going to change next year?
Well, things always change. I mean,
that it's all going to come together all of a sudden.
Look, Mike Budenholzer, if he didn't win the championship, if I recall correctly...
Last year.
If he didn't win the championship, they probably were going to fire him.
No, they were.
Yeah.
It was already... So that, like, you talk about things changing.
Yeah, you talk about things changing... There it is. If the Sixers, if Joel Embiid didn't get hurt, they very well could have beaten Miami.
Let's pull the 4 of us.
That's all a change,
you
know?
If Joel Embiid enters the series healthy, do you believe they beat the Heat? Because I do.
I do, too.
I believe it would have been a seventh game figuring out what happens.
Yeah, I think 7th game.
That wasn't an answer.
Yeah, I don't believe that. No.
Okay, say no.
I can't say. No, okay. I didn't say they would lose or win. I don't know. Well, I have no idea.
That's coward.
See, you would yell at Jamie if he said the same thing.
Come on.
I don't think they would have. No, I don't think they would have.
Okay.
I lean towards yes.
And then all of a sudden, you're one of the tough Final Four.
Yeah, and then your whole organization changes.
Everything changes.
And if they played, and if they had played in the first round, if they had played Boston or Milwaukee, they would have lost in the first
round.
But
they didn't.
And if they played in the second round, Boston, Milwaukee, they didn't.
If the queen had a scepter, she'd
be the
king.
Not.
You just busted out two ifs.
They're just not.
Yeah,
but again,
you can't do ifs,
they're
Johnny.
Not close to those teams.
They're not that far off either. They have the best offense in the NBA.
I honestly, I swear to God, I don't know what you're saying.
Boston wasn't like something changed with Boston, and
great coaching.
Yeah, it was like last year, a year from now.
Would you take Doc above any of the three coaches that were remaining in the East?
No,
probably not.
I don't think anybody would.
But my point is, like, last year, Boston was saying the same thing. Like, there was a Boston radio host, I'm sure, that was saying, like, what gives you faith? Like, a lot can change with a basketball team.
Well, they changed their coach.
They changed their coach, but...
Yeah. And they're in the conference finals.
But you can also, like, build a bench.
So change got this kid Pritchard and the Williams kids. And all of these guys are contributing to Boston this year that you didn't really see last year.
And you know what he did? He played them. Yeah. I got numbers for tomorrow. Yeah, he played his bench.
He made you dope.
He developed players.
Then fire Doc. I don't care.
And they also say he's one of the hardest working coaches in practice, teaching in practice.
He had a great line yesterday. Abby Chin, who covers the Boston up there, went to him and said, God, how nervous does this get you? And he goes, basketball doesn't make me nervous. I've never been nervous for basketball.
That's a Bob Cooney line.
I thought it was really cool. You know, he has that in his mind. It's a basketball game. It doesn't make me nervous. Hey, go out and play.
Hey, CNC Heating and Air Conditioning. They are your local and still family-owned and operated experts for 50-plus years. We got to get the Hoke brothers out to your place.
I talked to them last week. They're coming out hopefully this week or next.
Proudly servicing Bucks and Montgomery counties, too. Visit cc-hvac.com. Yeah. cc-hvac.com.
Coming out to Montgomery County for me, because that's what the Hoke brothers do.
Yeah, the Hokes are really, really good people. We absolutely love it. So take it out. H&H Heating and Air Conditioning, you will absolutely love them. They are going to do good work, and
I got to talk to them about that air scrubber you've talked so glowingly about.
I can only tell you this. The girls felt a difference the minute they got back. The difference in their just feeling bad.
I'm in.
Just feeling bad. Get them on out there, too. All right, we got a lot coming up for you on the show. So hang out with us. And we're going to take that conversation we just sort of had and embellish on it a little bit, plus a great weekend for the Phillies. How sustainable is it on this homestand? We'll get to it next. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I got to tell you this, is that if you need new windows, if your heating and cooling bills have been out of control, Window Nation's having their graduation sale. 5 full years of 0% financing, 60 months. 5 full years, 0% financing. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. That's a great deal for you. And with over 1 million windows installed, over 150,000 homes with Window Nation windows in them, and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you know what I'm telling you is they do a trustworthy job. But when I tell you they're doing a great job, that's saving your budget. That's different. 0% financing for 5 full years. 60 months interest-free. Get 2 free windows for every 2 that you buy. That is a great, great deal. Go to windownation.com and do your window shopping online. Whether you are looking for every size, style, or color, they've got it. Find what you need, get them installed, don't pay for it for 2 full years with financing. That's a great deal. You're not paying a dime in interest for 2 full years. You're getting a free loan to get it done. Get it done today with Window Nation. Go to windownation.com and tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Fanatic.
You know, the weather right now in Jamaica is warm and sunny. Call your travel agent or go to visitjamaica.com to learn more. Let's go. Now, have they moved away from all the... Yesterday, they were talking about, like, Wizard of Oz for today. We were going to have, we were going to have potential tornadoes.
Tornado warnings, hail, everything.
And now I'm not seeing any of that. They talked about it for 2 days.
I thought Karen this morning told us that it was going to be dicey. I think it got dialed down to dicey.
Rush hour is supposed to be a little rough.
Well, it's supposed to be from...
According to Eileen Lynch, quick moving in, quick moving out.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like done by 8 o'clock at night.
That's good.
It's because you're using the wrong weather app.
Oh, God.
Channel 6 showers come fast and furious.
Yeah, I trust Channel 6 before I trust you, Coach.
Karen Rogers is our morning go-to.
What's your degree in being a jackass?
You're telling me you think you're Adam Joseph?
You're no Karen Rogers, sir.
You're not. Back off, war child. Seriously.
Just the dresses he wears are nothing like Karen's.
You look weird when you wear Karen's dresses.
Yeah, trying to be Karen Rogers.
This is getting weird real quick.
Seriously.
Would it surprise you if Coach wore a dress at home?
Ew. What?
It wouldn't shock me.
And he's no Adam Joseph either.
Coach, Pat, I like you, man, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, high heels. Like, I can't rule it out. Makeup.
I can't. Yeah, you're Jay.
Marv Levy. Does he put on that Marv Levy? Marv Albert?
Marv Levy.
Poor Marv Levy. I'm sorry, Marv.
He didn't bite anybody. Coach didn't bite any women.
That we know of.
Notice how he got real quiet when he started bringing up his personal life.
Yeah.
Coach. Well,
what's up, Coach?
There you go. Coach, you feeling all right there?
He's a Lane Bryant man.
You don't wear it.
You guys are jerks.
Hey, look, after all the disagreeing with me today, I'm just glad to turn the spotlight on you. Getting trounced today.
Weirdo. We're not here to kick shame, Coach. You do you.
Yeah, Coach, it's okay, man. I mean, you know.
Coach, I don't know anyone like you, but that's fine.
Hey, Paul Reed averaged 3 minutes of play per game after the trade of Andre Drummond and Seth Curry. Isaiah Joe averaged 4 minutes of play after the trade of Drummond and Curry.
Oof.
Korkmaz averaged 5.5. When given the chance in the final 24 games to lengthen his bench, gain some experience, Doc didn't again.
I completely agree with your point.
And that eventually hurt him. He doesn't play. I mean, how do you play Paul Reed 3 minutes a game average after you make the trade? How do you, from the time James Harden gets here, you play him 3 minutes a game?
Makes no sense.
I don't understand it.
You look at Robert Williams, who was taken the same year as, was that Thybul or Maxey? Thybul draft?
Thybul's draft.
I think he was taking a pick or two behind Thybul. Look at the role he plays for that team. I mean, he's been injured and battling through stuff here, but he's a monster role on that team, and it's because he's been developed. A guy like Isaiah Joe, I like a little bit.
4 minutes.
I think he's got an NBA shot, and he needs time to develop that. So the sins of Doc this past year actually are going to pay worse dividends next year. Because Isaiah Joe's a guy you want to know, all right, can I count on him to be a ninth guy on my roster in a rotation right now? You don't have that answer. But had you played him, you know, 15 to 20 minutes a game, you might have a better idea of that. And now you just don't know, so you're kind of back to the drawing board.
You know what Eric Spoelstra does, Pat, with his undrafted free agents?
Yeah, he plays them.
Yeah,
and you find out. And I think part of the problem was Doc was trying and clawing to get to that number one seed so badly that at times he felt like he couldn't play these guys. My problem with Isaiah Joe was the fact that you didn't even put him to Delaware, really. Like, he didn't really get a lot of playing time.
He kind of just wasted this year.
You kind of wasted a year. And I agree with Jamie. What really annoyed me, and I guess is kind of telling, though, is in those blowout games when Doc would empty the bench, he would empty them with Furkan and Shake. And, you know, a prime example was, you know, in the game, I think it was game five, maybe, when it was, you know, it was over real quick and you know, in the 10 minutes left in the game. I'm like, empty the bench, but I'm not emptying the bench with Shake and Furkan. I'm emptying the bench with the younger guys to see what they have. He didn't do that with Isaiah Joe. That's the one thing. Like, you got to figure out if these guys can play or not.
Yeah, like Jordan Poole is playing 30 minutes a game this year.
Yeah.
He's playing 30 minutes a game last year because he played 19 last year and showed that he could do something. Like, you have to give guys opportunities to sink or swim, and guys here aren't really getting those opportunities to swim.
It's the one thing that Brett Brown did well.
Yeah, the weird thing that I find in all this is, what the hell does Furkan Korkmaz do in practices and all that stuff?
He must shoot the lights out.
These people keep giving him chance after chance after chance.
He must never miss, honestly.
He
must be a practice hero.
It must be a case where, I got to give Furkan a chance. Look how much he's killing it. Because I would have had Isaiah Joe playing over him.
100%.
Now, look, this might be, you know, revisionist history, but I would have. Like, Isaiah Joe showed you a little bit of something.
You played 4 minutes.
Yeah, grow that.
I think part of it is Doc felt a pressure to win now, win immediately, and he doesn't care about development,
okay.
The youth.
So what happens next
year? Which is short-sighted. Well, I just said
next year, yeah, but next year he's going to be in the same situation.
That's
he's
what I'm saying.
Feel
not,
the pressure to win now.
Not paying them, playing them this past year when you had ample opportunity after the trade is going to hurt you more at the start of next year.
And he won't play them next year either.
Probably not. I'm not expecting him to.
But it's weird because Doc was always a guy that, you know, I mean, coming in at least, my vision of him was a guy that could develop. I mean, this was a guy that had, what, 3 or 4 six-man of the year awards under his belt of guys that kind of were cast off by the NBA, and he developed them into a really good bench player. And they haven't had that. And it's been a weird dichotomy that I didn't expect with Doc Rivers as the head coach of the Sixers. I expected him to be able to develop that sixth man. And the fact that he won't play some of these younger guys over a Korkmaz or a Shake Milton when we know who they are is maddening.
Yeah, I don't understand. That's one of the reasons why, and I don't want to be a damper on this, but I that's one of the reasons why I'm not optimistic going forward. Doc Rivers is not changing next year. He's not going to be a guy who all of a sudden starts playing his young players, lengthening his bench, giving guys a chance to get out there and make some mistakes. When games, the Sixers had so many games this year where they were leading by 15, leading by 14, and he wouldn't play them.
Now, it could also be a case of his eye being keener than ours. I will trust that. Okay, throw B-Ball Paul out there for 18 minutes a game next year and he turns into a colossal failure. Now, if that happens, then we're like, oh, I guess he was right.
Yeah, but if that happens,
I don't
at least
know.
You know. If that, you
sure.
Know, you know and
well,
you
maybe
can
have an
answer.
Yeah.
You can address it at the deadline or you can address it at the veteran buyout market.
Yeah,
the fact, the fact that we entered the postseason and we were clamoring for B-Ball Paul having no idea what he was
right?
other than the G League MVP is ridiculous.
Well, let's hear the CNC, by the way, Heating and Air. Local, family-owned and operated experts for 50 years. They're going to service you in Bucks and Montgomery County. Visit cc-hvac.com. All right, let's get down to it, Jamie. Jamie will go first this week. I'll have mine tomorrow. Bob will have his on Thursday, on Wednesday. Pat will go on Thursday. And then Devon will give us one on Friday. The Sixers off-season plan. Jamie, you're the boss.
Yeah, I'm not going to get too nitty-gritty with the details of a trade because I'm not going to make up players that I know are on the block right. or even can be had. I'll just talk in generalities. I think it starts and ends with trading Tobias Harris. I don't think it's a knock on Tobias per se, the player. It's just he's the only asset you have because Maxie doesn't make the money that you'll need. You need to turn Tobias's, what, $42.5 million into two or three good players or two decent players and a draft pick. You need to get some kind of liquidity to the roster here and some talent while you're at it. So I look at a team, I target a team that's maybe close. Like Dallas, to me, is a perfect example of a team that would have interest in Tobias Harris. If you ran out there with a Brunson, Doncic, Dinwiddie, and Harris core, I think that's pretty good.
I think it's great. It would improve over the core they have now.
The problem is Dallas doesn't have a ton of young talent to give you. You'd have to get a third team involved. That's why I'm not getting into the details of it. I just think you have to turn Tobias into a decent stretch four. I don't think you need all the money in the world invested at stretch four anymore. I'd like to turn one of those guys into a three, ideally. I'd like to replace Danny Green with Tobias's return in a trade. Danny Green's option, I'm sorry, this is the cruel reality of the NBA. I can't pick it up. He's gone. So that $10 million becomes a little more free. Your mid-level exception, you got to hit a home run on whoever that's going to be. Whatever guy you can get out there on the mid-level in the MLE, as they call it, it has to be a home run. You don't have any draft assets. So that's kind of, to me, what it is. It's Danny, thank you. If I can unload Furkan for a bag of balls at this point, I probably am. If he wants to be your 11th or 12th guy, fine. Don't want to see him anymore. Shake Milton, I'm fine again if he's 11th or 12th guy. I don't want him in your top nine at all. Those are just kind of filler guys to me. Outside of that, George Niang's here on a very cheap deal. That's fine, I guess, if he's... I don't want him as the sixth man, that's for sure. As 7th, 8th guy, okay, fine. They need to find a sixth man in some capacity also. So if I was to hope for Tobias, I would hope for a starting caliber three and sixth man caliber player in return. And then you'd have to make one of those signings like your bulldog rebounder defender type. Like P.J. Tucker, I'll use as an example just because I think he's exactly what they need. A ferocious rebounder, defender, can hit an open shot if he needs to. Just one of those guys, and that's what I do. I mean, there's not a lot of options here, and I think it starts and ends with Tobias.
It's where, okay, now again, I'm not throwing a rock. You sound more like me when you articulate it.
But
you
I don't
sound like, yeah, he's good if he stays. He's good if he stays. I'm okay if he stays.
But if you're bumping those guys down the pecking order of talent, then I think it's okay.
I see. The more you articulate it, the less confident you sound, though, that this will turn around.
But I feel better about those top three if Tobias is gone than maybe you do.
So
that's where we differ.
I give you that.
Yeah, the big one is James Harden.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the biggest one. I think that's where your guys' biggest differences lie, is in that. I guess that's the only thing you can do.
There's
is
not
Tobias.
A lot of flexibility
it's the
here.
The only thing.
Because yeah. Maxey, no, no, you no. could trade, but he doesn't make the money to get back.
No, your general manager tells you we got flexibility. They, in fact, have one of the most handcuffed off seasons of any team in the NBA.
When I heard flexibility, I heard, we have Tobias Harris.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you have flexibility.
Minor flexibility. I do think Tobias will be a wanted piece for a team that's close, whether it be a Cleveland,
but
a Dallas.
But what would they be willing to give up?
Well, that's the question, and you might have to get a third team involved. And the other thing you might have to consider, too, is if you can make expiring money match, maybe you get draft capital back in return and then flip that draft capital around again for something else. Like, you're going to have to get creative here. This is not easy.
Yeah, creativity has to be at the top of the list for Daryl Morey.
Yeah.
I've got a little bit of creativity for tomorrow. Because I just tried to... I found myself hitting the same roadblocks you do.
Yeah,
and
I mean, there's not a ton of
pass. Every one of us this week are going to have... there's one I sort of read about the other day that then I started to research and thought, okay. Okay, that could be. And
if you run back the big four, I'd be more in your camp than mine.
Yeah,
like, if you run back Tobias again, he becomes easier to trade at the trade deadline. But then again, you're dealing with a whole different roster with, 25 or 30 games remaining, and then you're tinkering again. So I'd rather just pull the Band-Aid off this offseason and get a full season of the team. I'm sick of the in-season tinkering constantly by the Sixers. I think that's a part of why they've been unsuccessful.
Yeah, it seems like the last, four years?
Every year.
Maybe
every
last five.
Year.
It's... Well, this team's only played 18 games. This team's only played 20
it's
games.
So exhausting.
And it's exhausting. But then when you look at the reasons, I guess, they did the facelifts that they've done, some of them were self-imposed, but some of them were, like, this year, it was kind of your hand was forced to do it. You had to.
Yeah, like a Bobby Portis type of move for Milwaukee is what they need. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, somebody that's good, not going to kill you, and is obtainable. I don't think they're that far away. It's just how they get there is going to be difficult.
Are the Eagles far away?
I guess it depends what Jalen Hurts is, much like it depends on Joel Embiid's health.
No.
Seems like Vegas tells you that the Eagles are as close to a championship as the Sixers.
I would agree with that.
The Eagles have really ascended. I mean...
Well, look at their offense. Other than Hurts, look at their offense that they've built.
If I said to you right now, 9-8 is the floor because that's what they did last year. Then they lose in the playoffs. They were actually 9-9 overall. If I said to you, 9-8 is the over-under, and by the way, the over-under moved from now is 9 in most of the Vegas casinos. Are you betting 10? Hands down, no hesitation?
Not hands down, no hesitation for me.
They set that number at 9, and you go now, okay, you got to get to 10 to win.
It's not crazy to think they would improve by one game because the schedule's equally as easy.
Yeah. I'll put the over bet in. I'll put the over bet in.
Yeah. I would put a bet in, but it wouldn't be much money. I mean, they still don't have a secondary.
I said it before, and I really believe this. They could win 9 games this year and, to me, seem like a better team than last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like
totally.
You could be a 9-win team and be so much better in a lot of areas, but your competition is better, so therefore you didn't get more wins.
But they have an easier schedule this year.
Well, that's just like doing the win-loss thing that you hate to do. I hate this easy schedule, hard schedule. You don't know. Like, you don't know. You don't know.
Some of those teams are crap.
Yeah, but you don't know if they're going to come out and do something or whatever.
They're getting to play the easiest division in the AFC.
And the NFC
East. Last year they did. And they get to play in the easiest division in the year. I mean, this year's schedule is definitely different than last year's. It's easier because of the fact you're playing the bad division.
Those comedy games were really easy last year, though.
There's always a team that looks like it's going to be a surefire win, and they come out of nowhere. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants ascend, you know what I mean? And all of a sudden, they're like a legitimate contender, and we're banking on two wins there.
I will be surprised that happens.
Daniel Jones?
I'm using them as an example of a team that, like, we look like, all right, there's two wins, and next thing you know, it's like, wow, the Giants, Brian Dobbles figured it out with Daniel Jones, and they've actually got it going on.
Yeah.
The worst game the Eagles played last year was at the Giants.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah.
That was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
That game was Jalen Hurts.
Was that the game he hurt his ankle?
They lost 10-9, was it?
10-6,
it
might have been
10-7.
Yeah,
it was a terrible game.
It was gross.
The Giants averaged 10 points in their last seven games, I think. And they beat the Eagles. They found a way to beat the Eagles in that stretch. Jalen Hurts. That was Jalen Hurts' worst game ever.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it earlier about him, you know, going and getting a new quarterback's coach and working out. Like, he really doesn't have any excuses going into this year. Barring injury, we're going to figure out if he's the guy or not. And that's one of the reasons why they are close, is because if he's not the guy, they're going to be such an enticing destination for possible quarterbacks that they could probably get the guy.
Wentz doesn't have a better line and weapons. Daniel Jones doesn't have a better line and weapons. And I think you could make the argument that they have every bit the line and the weapons that Dallas has.
Probably have a better line.
Right?
Yeah, I think
no, overall,
line.
Though, if you do weapons, line, everything, I think it's very close. I'd bet the over in a second.
Well, Amari Cooper's gone, so it's CeeDee and Gallup who's coming off an injury. I would actually say the Eagles on paper probably have a better wide receiver.
Didn't they draft one, though? They also drafted a kid.
Who did they get?
I believe... Unless I'm mistaken.
Antonio Bryant.
No, I don't think it was him.
No, Dez I don't Bryant. Think it was. No, I don't think it was that.
Any
OJ
Bryant.
Simpson. No, they didn't.
It wasn't OJ?
No, it wasn't. They've sort of told OJ you're not welcome.
A third rounder. They took Jalen Tolbert from Southern Alabama. So nothing.
Oh,
wait, no lie.
Really? By the time November comes around, we're going to be going, damn, where did they find that Tolbert?
100%.
But
they
know how
to. They know how to draft.
Well,
there's one quarterback they might be able to go get because Drew Brees is done at NBC.
His tweet?
No, he is, though.
He's done being an analyst.
That's because he stunk at it.
It's because he stinks. We'll get to that later. That's coming on our show sheet.
But the Cowboys' draft success doesn't equate to much, Johnny.
I apologize, Johnny.
Hey, B-Hawk joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, B-Hawk.
Yo, man, it's crazy. You know, yesterday, man, it's gut-wrenching watching that type of basketball and seeing the style we played. But yep. I don't even want to go in. I want to ruin our Monday. But, yo, it's crazy because I watched a lot of Dallas basketball going back to the Triple J. Jason Kidd was my favorite guard out of California. But I was exploring that Dallas trade. We did business with them. It's funny y'all said that. I'm looking at Tim Hardaway Jr., and also because the money is still going to be a little bit short. I think he's owed 27. But I'm thinking Tim Hardaway, maybe Dwight Powell or Maxie Kleber. But I'm thinking that Dallas Mavericks might be the way to go because they're looking to go big. They got a little bit of capital. But I really think all signs point to Dallas Mavericks for a move because I think they would take.
The further they go, B-Hawk, though, I think it sucks for the Sixers. Because Jamie and you make a great point. That is a team that they could really benefit.
He just looks like he would fit in a Mavericks jersey.
But
can you picture him?
Like if they got to the NBA Finals or got close to the NBA Finals, they lose in 6 or 7. I don't see them making major overhaul. I think they say we are ahead of schedule.
But if they could, Tim Hardaway is playing a minimized role for them, so if you could get Tobias Harris for Tim Hardaway and, you know, one of those other guys.
You're not a better team.
The Sixers?
Nope.
Debatable.
Well, I don't think you are. You're missing a lot of points.
Yeah, but you can get more from others. Like Tyrese might increase his.
Tyrese might 2 points a game maybe?
And what's Tobias giving you on the year? 17 or 18?
18, I believe.
I mean, Tim Hardaway can probably give you 14 in this league. Like, you can make that up.
He could probably give you 14.
To me, it's all about just widening the talent pool on the roster. Like, you just need better players in deeper positions.
You need guys that know how to play together with Joel Embiid. And Tobias
Harris. That's why you need a full season.
Yeah, Tobias Harris seems to be not a great fit with Joel Embiid and James Harden. So maybe it is a guy that gives you less, which is more.
Tobias was their, again, and I think 12 games, Tobias Harris was their best player in the playoffs.
That's why he's got trade value right now.
He was the best guy on their team, and you're going to take that away and say you're going to be better.
Well, Joel Embiid's the best player on the team.
Yeah, but Tobias was your, then if you're going to go that, then he was your second best player on your roster. And you're going to say we're going to get rid of the second best player on the roster and in playoffs, and he's going to, that's going to make you better.
You got to spend something to make something.
Hey, we got a lot coming for you in the final hour of the show. It seems like a trial for Doc Rivers. Plus, this weekend for the Phillies is where we start. The Phillies salvaged you, me, and maybe the entire fan base this weekend. Big weekend and a big 9 o'clock hour coming up. John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. In a crazy real estate market, people are doing renovations to their homes to make them more livable. And they realize now they got more home equity. So they're updating kitchens and bathrooms and more. But have you upgraded your hot water heater? Yeah, you get a fancy new shower. Or you get a dishwasher, high end. You get spotty and unreliable hot water coming from your hot water heater. If you don't even know how long your hot water heater has been in your house, contact Bradford White today. Because Bradford White water heaters are built to be the best. We're talking top efficiency, years of reliable performance. And we love the Bradford Whites. They keep the Kincaid household humming along beautifully. So do a smart upgrade. Get the hot water that you and your family deserve. Whether you're looking for a high-efficiency gas, electric, tankless models, or more, visit BradfordWhite.com today. Learn more about their quality water heating products and find a plumbing professional near you that will install it for top efficiency. Go to BradfordWhite.com because how you heat your hot water matters. So choose the best. Choose Bradford White.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we got 1 hour to go on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hopefully you're streaming us all day long using that 97.5 The Fanatic app. As Pat really was a godsend to tell people you have a radio right in the palm of your hand. With
yeah,
your
where's
phones.
That phone? Let me see your phone.
That's insightful, baby.
Like you should write a radio promo with that in it.
If you've got a phone, you've got a radio.
That's
Coach,
a great
good,
idea.
Pat.
Coach,
like
you,
that,
are you taking notes?
Are there consultants that get paid big money for that?
Are you writing this down?
Coach.
What are you doing over there?
You heard what he said there.
Yeah, no, those promos exist already.
No, I don't think so. I think Pat just invented it.
No.
Yeah, way to go, Pat.
Pat, how about
this, Coach? Philly's first FM sports station. What about that
one? Ooh.
Yeah, that one.
Are we still using that one?
I'm spitballing here.
No, but that one was done also.
That's salacious.
How about listen to 97.5 and rip the knob off?
Rip it off, coach. Yeah.
Well, that was done back in like the 80s.
Okay, we take that, but that's
yeah,
not
you
good
take that
either.
One out.
What about 97.5? We turn it to 11.
Ooh.
Huh? Huh? Because you see, most things, they only have 10.
Turned up, Pat?
Yeah, like we go to 11.
Coach, here's a freebie for you. 97.5 The Fanatic. When you're here, you're family.
We just
oh, like
good
that.
One,
hey, Jamie.
Coach,
this spitballing, Coach. If you're not taking notes, something's wrong with
no.
the good session.
Go no, do it now.
Yeah, Coach, no, we're not trying to do your job for you, but these are golden ideas, and I bet you the opposition's listening and writing them down.
Yeah, no, I took mental notes the whole
They're
time.
They're not offering free salad and breadsticks, Coach. We are.
Boom.
Wow. This is a
bunch of idiots.
There are a lot of things we've brought to the market on this show that are now being, you know, copied, used. It's good. So we're doing it. Hey, 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by the Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com. I think it may be overstating it a bit, but I believe the Phillies saved their season on this road trip. When the Phillies left town, they limped out of town. And there was a lot of negativity around everything, including whether Joe Girardi would save his job. So I got a couple questions for you after watching them win a series in Seattle and then win 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers. I said before the Dodgers series that if they went 2-2 against the Dodgers, that was first of all, would give them a winning road trip at 4-3. And that would be a huge victory. A 5-2 road trip, never saw it coming. Pummeling the Dodgers pitching staff, never saw it coming. But in fairness, I must ask, we bludgeon Joe Girardi when this team doesn't perform. But how much praise of this West Coast trip do you lay at the feet of Joe Girardi? Because if he gets blamed for the losses, does he get praised for the victories? And that's where we begin with Bob and Jamie and Pat and Connor and Mike and the coach, Eric Camille. It's John Kincaid Show here on The Fanatic. I always try to round it about so we play both sides of the fence where we try to be fair. Joe Girardi, a week ago, we were talking about him trying to save his job. And then they go on the West Coast and the players do their job. And all of a sudden, is Joe Girardi a better manager or is he the same guy?
Same guy. I got to say same guy. You averaged over 8 runs a game in L.A. Fair or not, when a team is hitting, I don't know how much credit a manager is going to get. You're talking about 33 runs in 4 games against the Dodgers. You eked out a 12-10. You eked out a 9-7. You lost one in extra innings. I don't know. Again, fair or not, I don't know how much credit you do give to a manager for runs being scored. Did he tweak with the lineup again? Uh-huh. Did he have to because Bryce Harper decided or, you know, got his elbow shot up yesterday? Of course. But I don't know. Credit or not, I'll take this team as they've played the last 7 games. That's for certain.
Again, a mediocre team that hits, far more entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Much more gets my attention.
To me, what I judge a manager on is basically one thing, for the most part. You know, there's day-to-day stuff that might come into play here and there, but it's just how do you manage the bullpen? Like, to me, I think that's hands down the most difficult thing a manager does, the most important thing a manager does, and where their influence on W's and L's comes from. You know, they say a manager's good for 7 games either way. I guess I'll trust the baseball lifers that say that. He's the same guy to me. You know, it's still going to come down to, does he know when Aaron Nola's cooked? Does he know when Nick Nelson doesn't have it? Does he know when, you know, Zach Eflin's hanging on good to imploding? It's those decisions he makes that basically is going to dictate to me how I evaluate him. And it hasn't been great, but it hasn't been terrible.
Am I just trying to be too...
No, to be fair, look, if I'm going to rip them for losing these games and I don't really have a thing to point at or many things to point at, but I'm just kind of blaming him for the loss, then I have to give him credit when they win games that I didn't think that they were supposed to. With all of that said, do I think he's a good manager? No. I think he has a lot of holes in his game. I think that he doesn't really have a good feel for the game, which is weird for a catcher. So I think there are definitely causes for concern. It's not like all of a sudden I'm jumping back on the Joe Girardi bandwagon, because at this point I'm kind of out on him. But I have to give him credit for getting this team right in a key situation, in a key time of the season, because Jamie tweeted out like the next month is like a murderer's row.
Yeah, next 2 weeks are nasty.
Yeah,
two and a half.
But it was worse 2 weeks ago. And he's seemingly righting the ship now, so I have to give him credit for that in a way. Because I was, you know, if they had lost and they had lost these games, I'd be sitting there going, why is he still the manager?
Yeah.
You have a 6-game homestand, Bob, beginning.
Mm-hmm. You know, how much credit can you give him that Bryce Harper's has hit .500 in his last 34 at bats? How much credit can you give him that Castellanos is continuing to rake? You know, all of those things. Like, is Joe Girardi getting in the batting cage with those guys, or is their hitting just coming around? Jamie makes a great point. It's the bullpen. It's the first thing we talk about today. Should he have left Knebel in or not? You know, Familia, why are you going to him? You know,
I leave Knebel in, by the way.
I didn't have a problem with it yesterday, and I thought it out. I didn't have a problem with it.
But my right fielder would have been positioned properly,
yeah,
that a triple becomes a double, and a double becomes a single.
But if you remember the inning prior, they hit a shot up the middle that, because of the shift, was where it was. It would have been a base hit, and they would have scored a run. The Phillies were able to get out of it.
Yeah, I've never seen outfield positioning like that in the ninth inning of a game in my life.
That was bizarre.
And we can talk to Ricky about it Thursday, and I think he'll reiterate it. He talked about when he was on the mound, if that was him in that situation, and he turns around after the ball's hit, and he sees that the guy was supposed to be there, but because of analytics, he's not, it would have messed with him.
Yes.
You know, and you gotta wonder if he's sitting there going, that should have been a double, but now it's a triple because of your stupid analytics. It might have gotten into his head a
little
bit. And
he was getting squeezed on top of it, in my opinion. Yeah. So, like, all those things all of a sudden, yeah, no wonder they lost.
6-game homestand this week. You're 1 game under 500. Before you go to Atlanta next Monday for a series that begins, a 4-game series that begins your season series with the Braves, I think you want to be above 500. A 4-2 homestand's fine. But right now you're 9-9 at home. You're not taking advantage of being a home team. You're not creating a home field advantage. A 4-2 record at home, I think, is what you are looking for this week.
Do you put any stock into the, quote, hitting season? Because it really hasn't.
That when it gets warmer?
Yeah, it truly hasn't been hitting season here.
I got you.
Do you put any stock into that at all?
Sure.
I mean, I don't put a ton.
Yeah, but teams hit better in June, July, and August.
Yeah, it's kind of miserable weather right now.
But every team hits better in June, July, and August.
Yeah.
So it's not like a Phillies thing where teams like the Phillies really start to hit in June, July, and August. Every team hits better in the world.
But the Phillies should be as good of a mashing team as there is in the NL. Yeah.
So it
might give them a little leg up on everybody else.
You know, and one important thing is they have to figure out a damn lineup.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Rhys Hoskins leading off?
Yeah.
At this point, are we just doing a revolving door, a merry-go-round?
Yes. Your answer.
Now you can't take him out.
He's a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, but they're averaging eight runs a game.
That's the thing. You can't take him out.
So now it's weird. You got Alec Bohm hitting second. Harper's shelved at least until Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
He plays tomorrow.
Now he could be. Guy who has 35, 40 home run potential is your leadoff hitter.
Schwarber was there, right?
Yeah, I guess.
And none of it makes sense.
I mean,
no.
The one thing I'm going to say is, though, I'm very torn about the Joe Girardi thing, and that's what really was the whole point. I'm torn about it because Sports Talk Radio, us included in this one, we tend to get on baseball managers when your team has losing streaks and things like that. But they tend to get no credit when they win.
Well, because it's easy to point out the flaws.
And it doesn't seem fair to do that.
But it's easy to point out the flaws when they're losing. When they're winning, do I give Joe Girardi credits for the bats?
Yeah, because you kind of expected them to win.
Yeah, so it's like, what do I give him credit for this past week?
Okay, who's a great manager in baseball history that you really liked? Or great? Charlie Manuel gets credit for that Phillies lineup, the greatest that the organization's ever done?
He gets credit for keeping it steady.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Steady, and he gets credit for development like Jason Wirth.
Wait. And I understand with Charlie, but Charlie also had a shortstop who was excellent at shortstop, a second baseman who was excellent at second base.
He did.
First baseman who, that was the only place you could play him. He didn't have to think.
But he did, though. I mean, they signed Jeff Jenkins, and he made the managerial decision to sit Jeff Jenkins for Jason Wirth, who they got off a scrap heap, putting Shane Victorino, a Rule 5 pick, in a right field and then transferring him to center field. You know, that's on his development. And Carlos Ruiz's development can't be ignored either. I mean, he was an infielder when they signed him.
Yep.
And he developed him into a catching spot.
He was senior October by the time he left.
Yeah, I mean, like, at one point he was senior double play because he would just routinely hit in a double play when he first came up.
and he
developed into a really good hitter. That's on Charlie.
He was a second baseman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would be like the same with Joe if you took the core. You know, you have now a core of Harper, let's say Castellanos, and who would pick your third?
Hoskins.
Now it's on developing the Bryson Stotts and Matt Vierlings and
Mickey Moniak.
Best thing in the world to me, I would be so excited at the end of 2022 if we said left side of our infield, it's set for the next 10 years.
That play Bryson made last night.
He got so high.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, he could elevate for a rebound like the Sixers can.
I saw a couple tweets where, like, can the Sixers sign him?
Yeah, because, okay, so to me,
that was a hell of a play.
If we come out of 2022 and say, left side of the infield, well, that's set for the next 6, 7, 10
years. That's a huge win.
And I want to see that. I don't need to see Didi Gregorius play another game.
No.
And I don't want to see him play.
And I want Mickey Moniak to steal this job in center.
Yeah, right, no, right, exactly.
It's almost like a direct relationship that we were just talking about with the Sixers. Why not give your young players time? You know, why are you dying on Furkan Korkmaz Hill instead of giving Isaiah Joe some time?
Because
why are you dying on Didi Gregorius
You just signed Furkan Korkmaz, so you told everybody we're smarter than you.
Yeah. I agree with you with Bryson Stott. Keep him out there.
I want to
see what he's got. Absolutely. See what Stott got.
I disagree.
Why?
You love young players too.
I do.
Pat.
I do. No,
I don't understand. Especially you,
Stott. It's nothing against Stott. I don't think Didi's is bad, and I don't think he's having a bad year this year. But
no, he's not.
No, but
I like kind of the way that this season has been going for Bryson Stott. Like, he makes the team. Confidence is there. He'll get his opportunity because Didi's on the IL. Hey, don't hurry back. That's fine. But am I ready to hand it completely over to him over a veteran player? Probably not.
And by the way, I will go back to it. I'm not trying to do a... I won this argument too, but Odubel Herrera was... Last year was your best option center field. He's your best option until Mickey Moniak comes in. In this organization, and he's making plays defensively that help you win.
I don't think anyone argued that.
He's dumb... Everybody was against Odubel Herrera being here.
No, it was a matter of we knew what we were getting. It's kind of like Furkan Korkmaz.
You were hoping you could do better.
You know what you're getting from Furkan, and you know what you're getting from Odubel. You just hope that the unknown and Matt Sterling or whoever would be better.
That's unfair to Odubel, comparing him to Korkmaz. He does a hell of a lot more for you to help win than Korkmaz does for the Sixers.
He swings at balls that are literally going through his feet.
I've never seen anything like that.
That's a terrible
play. That was a video game glitch.
That was so weird.
Pat's not mentioning the runs he's been saving in center field.
Or the
fact that he is a much more competent up at the plate than anyone.
I am not disagreeing with any of that. It wasn't a knock against Odubel. I know what I'm getting from him. With this lineup being as hyped as it is on paper, you should be able to suffer through a Matt Vierling or a Mickey Moniak and the growing pains of those guys.
Show me that smile again.
Oh, I'm not doing it over an Odubel Herrera, which you know what you're getting. He's going to hit, what, 250?
See, you used to play.
So why can't you just use that same rationale for shortstop?
Because I think Didi is better at shortstop than Odubel is at center field. I think he's more important to the team than
they're going to go. He's going to go right back to Didi.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he has an "I can't quit you" mentality with Didi. He loves him, but
we'll just do foreign.
Or it's not like I think Didi's
foreign
a bad
two or
I don't
just
want
platoon.
That. I want to see the
but they're not
going
to pay a guy $15 million to not play. I mean, that's the reality.
And I don't want them platooning because they do that too much with young players. They platoon them and they baby them and they cop
them. Well, then what's the answer, Pat?
Put them in AAA and let them
go. No.
Hey, the weather right now, Jamaica's warm and sunny. You know that, Pat? Call your travel agent or go to visitjamaica.com to learn more. Let's go to Jamaica. But good news for the Phillies. That was a good weekend. In the linchpin, Jamie says there's a definition for the play of James Harden.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, James Harden's up there probably amongst the best one-way players of all time, meaning he doesn't play a lick of defense and is extremely skilled offensively. He is a one-way player. The question is, can one-way players win titles? Now, I tried to just rack my brain of the last decade in the NBA, and this is exclusive to the NBA because every sport's different and unique. NBA, can one of your cornerstone pieces be a one-way player? It's pretty tough. The one that came to mind was Steph Curry. He's an okay defender.
He plays more defense.
He's a willing defender.
He puts much more effort in than James Harden even thought about putting in.
But this is how hard this exercise is. It's hard to come up with a one-way player champion. I ask you both, who comes to mind? And we're not going back 20 years, like a recent memory.
Okay, so it can't go back to Dennis Rodman because that was my...
No, name. Because that's such a different style of game. Like, the NBA is so different now than it used to be. I really had a hard time coming up with true one-way player champions.
It's funny, I came up with somebody on that Golden State team, but it wasn't.
Draymond?
Yeah.
The inverse.
That's right. Why
they work together. It's because they cancel each other out.
Yeah, so he's a really good defensive player.
And rebounder, yeah.
Yeah, so one way kind of. PJ Tucker a little bit last year with Milwaukee was so more that, but he was a sub specialist.
That's funny. You think of it the invert of how I was thinking of it. You're thinking the guys defense. That don't score, that do the complementary parts to the scores.
How come you?
I'm thinking of the scorers that don't play defense.
How come you can be honest about what he brings to the table?
Well, like, he never played defense. Harden,
and Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers aren't honest about
it. Daryl Morey knows he doesn't play defense. Like, that's part of the deal. I don't think anybody in the NBA convinced themselves that James Harden plays defense.
Because what I'm going to say is, too, don't you have another one on the roster, Matisse Thybulle? They admitted the other day, they said he's a one-way player. Doc said it the other day.
I mean,
so now you got two one-way players in your top
six. Theoretically, Matisse's defense should kind of offset some of James's.
But it doesn't.
He better get back to being a good defensive player because he was absolute, in my book,
horrendous.
He was a crap defender in the last 20 games of the season.
Do you take the reputation of him being a good defender and trade him?
You might consider it.
I mean, and don't tell me he doesn't have any value because he does.
Well, remember, you wouldn't. Reportedly, from Shams and everything, you wouldn't in the deal to get Harden. They were willing to give up Seth Curry.
Yeah, that might have been because Brooklyn knew he wasn't unvaccinated, so I mean he couldn't even play.
He couldn't take two unknowns if you're Sean Marks. But does anybody max players? Can you think of one that's had a glaring hole like James Harden does?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Draymond might be the best answer, and it's the inverse of
Durant
my
came
point.
To my mind, but he's not a horrible defender.
He's willing.
Much
he's
more willing. Effort than James.
Oh, I mean, look, this. I'm going to put this coffee Keurig thing. That's more effort than Harden on defense right there.
Can I ask you something, though? And I know it's what Jamie says. It's like, well, everybody knows it. Doesn't it piss you off that a guy who's a max money player doesn't even put the effort out to play a lick of defense?
A little bit.
Especially when he's not willing to put an offense in to go on out there and be aggressive on offense and do it at the other end. Doesn't that bother you at all?
Well, the other one is Jokic.
Well, I got one.
Jokic is hard.
Does,
yeah.
John.
But
I hear you.
But Jokic
you know
isn't
what
a champion.
Is?
Guys, we're forgetting one that was literally
Who's
here.
That?
Ben Simmons.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the ultimate one-way guy, right?
But again, not a champion. I'm trying to think of just champions.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of my point is, if you're one of the three offensive cornerstone pieces, I don't know. And maybe you can win a title not playing defense. Like, he's the most glaring.
Probably could think of one, but it's going to take some time.
No, I'm looking up and down.
I was trying to rack my brain yesterday. I was struggling.
Wow.
Most greats do both.
They do.
Yeah.
That's why.
And it's funny. You're right, John. You should be more pissed off. But
I think
the case of it is because he's been in the league so long and everybody knows that's who he is. There's a level of acceptance, right?
Totally.
It's just like, that's who he is. That's who he is.
Well, I would tell you.
But it's not like he's a normal offensive player.
I would tell you
player.
That I go in. He's a very normal offensive
that is,
player now.
Like, what made him was you accepted it because he was so exceptionally gifted offensively.
But he's not anymore.
And that's where the acceptance came in. Was
I understand, but he's not anymore.
But he's a top five point guard in the league. It's not like he's, you know, I mean, you. Look, you want more, but you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get more defense.
Young then I don't
champion,
understand where all the optimism
again, not
comes
a champion.
From.
It's like getting in Madden Tax Day. It's coming, man. Like, you just got to accept it. I'm not happy about taxes either.
I swear to you, though.
This is where
I don't understand where the optimism comes of the Sixers going forward.
Because he's a really good point guard.
Yeah.
He's really good. Yeah, he's really good. Point
I mean,
guard.
When you look,
he's
at,
not a really good offensive scorer anymore.
But when you look at why the reason they lost, I don't think many people are pointing to Harden. It's more of the lack of depth and the injury to your best player.
Game 5 and Game 6, your best player's injured. You expect your second best offensive player to step up, and he didn't.
But he's pretty low on my list of the reasons why. I mean, it really is. It's the lack of depth that this team had. I mean, they ran into a team full of dogs that had depth that came at you a wave.
And they traded depth away to get the
but,
guy.
But you accepted that at the time. Like I don't want to do the whole thing. But when the trade went down, my big concern was, they just gave up their depth. Like, they don't have a bench now. And I think we all assumed that they were going to get that depth with the veteran buyout, but it didn't happen. So, okay, fine, let's see what they do in the playoffs. They had a good draw. They had probably the best draw you could have gotten.
They did.
And, you know, look, they ran in the number one seed. It happens.
And Thybulle completely imploding.
Wait, 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 wait.
I don't think people saw it coming.
I heard that, too. I heard that even this weekend. They ran into the number one seed.
Yeah.
They ran into the third best team in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
No, they ran into the number one seed.
No, Boston is better than Miami.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. Do you want to wager?
You want to put $2 on it?
Yes.
All right, fine. Count.
Two. And
Utah, make it two.
And Milwaukee's better than Miami. So you ran it.
You ran into the
easiest draw to get to the conference finals. I don't know.
People have been sleeping on the Heat all season.
We're gonna find it. You haven't been.
Bam's a decent matchup for Giannis.
You haven't been.
Yeah, and I want a $2 bill when I win this bet.
How about Pat? Let's double it. Let's make it four.
Wow. Oh, you guys are nuts. Pat. Okay. Guys are nuts.
I got
Pat.
We're going nuts.
I got four GWs in my wallet. Okay. And I'm going to be adding to it.
Go Boston. Oh, I've never said that. I'm not saying that now either.
Grab that, Connor.
That sounds awful. Makes me want to vomit. All right, coming up, we got a lot for you as we get ready to wrap up the show, including this guy looking for work. But why? It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Let me tell you this. When you're dealing with the Parx Casino Sportsbook app, betparx.com, you're in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, you get a risk-free bet of up to $750, and all you have to do is drop my name, Kincaid, as your promo code. How about betting on what you believe is going to happen in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals and who gets to have a parade? If you wanted to bet $50 right now on Golden State to win the title, you're going to win $60 for your $50 bet. Put $50 down on the Celtics, that's going to get you $100. Put $50 down on Miami, that's going to get you $200. Put $50 down on Dallas, and it's going to get you $300. Hey, the in-game wagering is also absolutely awesome. If you think the Phillies bats have come alive, start betting overs. Start betting individual player performances in baseball, just like in hoops. Risk-free bet up to $750. You got to be 21 and in the state of Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Go to betparx.com and download the app. If you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
The Fanatic.
John Kincaid's show on The Fanatic. You know that Martin Law is Philly's original law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com should you need it. I think Tim Schaumburg has the best answer for us.
What do you say, Tim?
On the one-way champion. And I can't believe none of us got it.
Is it the Jesus Shuttlesworth? That wasn't a bad answer. Somebody tweeted
Dirk
me.
Dirk Nowitzki.
That's a really good one.
He made no effort defensively.
That's a really good one.
Dirk is the best one-way champion if you're talking about.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? He may be the only one.
They're rare.
No, that's incredibly rare. We can't even come up with one in this generation.
Ray Allen, somebody tweeted me. I think that's a decent one. He was the third of their big three.
Allen was the third. Bad. Yeah, I mean.
But he's almost a specialist, too.
Reggie Miller was suggested to me. But Reggie at least made a...
But he never won.
...effort. And he got to conference finals a lot more than...
Well, yeah, but he didn't win.
He has a lot more playoff success than James Harden's had. A lot more. He elevated his game in the playoffs.
He did. And
his teams went further.
But James Harden, it's not like he's out in the first round every year.
His teams went further, and he elevated his play. He was one of the greatest postseason performers.
Did he run into the greatest basketball team ever made?
Yes. In fact, that he maybe did.
Yeah, and what years did he advance? When probably 95, 96, when Jordan was out of it, right?
Well, I mean...
Houston did run into Golden State.
I think he went five times to a conference finals.
I mean, yeah, but
Reggie.
Houston ran into two of the greatest dynasties.
You're not just talking about when Jordan was out.
Well...
He went to a conference final, I believe, five times, if not six.
Okay. But he didn't win.
He went further than James Harden.
The point is,
he elevated his game.
The point is, it's very hard to win unless you're a two-way player.
Okay, but when your lights are brightest... Reggie Miller was at his best.
Yeah, Reggie was
James
awesome.
Harden, when the lights are brightest, is not at his best. And he has a career resume to show it.
He also ran into
the biggest games.
The best teams in the last 30, 40 years. I mean, that counts for something.
Hey, Spider. You're on The Fanatic. How are you, Spider?
Hey, man. I'm great, man. It's a beautiful morning.
It's not raining outside yet.
No, not yet.
Okay.
I see y'all having a good morning. That's what's up. Man, I agree with everything you're saying, John. Every single word, man.
You all right, Spider?
Yeah,
I can't believe it. Come on,
screw
man.
You,
what's going on?
You, Bob.
Hey,
I don't understand it.
Word, man.
Spider, I don't understand the all this great optimism that, yeah, it'll be fine. Just give him more games and a few little moves.
I mean, City of Faithful people, we hopeful, man. But everything you're saying is correct. I see a bunch of first-round, second-round exits in our future, man. No player development. No smart, no good basketball IQs on the team. Just some people with some talent that don't know how to put it together.
I hate hearing you this down, Spider, and hopefully we're going to find ways to be more optimistic.
Part of the reason I want to keep it together is I don't know what your better option is. And
well,
I know
you can't be a you can't be a CEO of a company. You can't be a leader of a team and have that attitude.
Sure,
well,
if I don't have a better
change,
option,
it might not be better. That your job is to find better options.
But all right, so let's first of all, the option is Harden, so he's not just going to leave $47.5 million on the table. Secondly, you'd then have to attract somebody here.
Yeah, and they've struck out on doing that.
And that's not as easy as it sounds.
How about if you called? You say to James, there's no multi-year offer coming, so you choose.
Then he's taking his option.
Yeah. No, I know that. No, yeah. I believe he'll do that. But then force him into that. Don't give him... Everyone says, well, James got hand. He's got hand. He's got hand for a year.
Yeah, that's
so
great.
Just say to him, there's no multi-year option on the table, but that won't happen.
Take your chance that he...
No,
that you just play the option out.
We'll find out if James was truthful when he said, I'm willing to work with them. And do whatever it takes to help this team win. Because if he hires an agent or a firm, remember, he doesn't have an agent.
Right.
He's never needed an agent because he's always had max offers and opt-ins and obvious choices. But if he hires a firm to help with this, then he is willing to take a little bit less. If he's willing to take less, then yeah, take him.
I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised on that, too.
Me too.
With what he takes?
So do I.
Yeah, I do, John.
I think he knows
think
where he's at
going
in his career.
To do that.
Really?
I do.
Okay,
give me the number. Feeling.
If it's a 3-year extension, what's the number?
I would love
3 for 90 would be awesome.
How about 375?
375 would be fantastic.
I'd
do that. He's not going to take less than Kyle Lowry got.
Okay, where do you think?
And his moonlighting contract.
But I agree with Bob. I think he's worried about being Russell Westbrook.
Who's getting him? Who's giving him? Right after seeing what like was happened with Russell Westbrook, where guys can just fall off a cliff, and James Harden looks like he is declining.
That's why
anybody tries to spin it. But he's not, though. They said it.
Why do
you
believe him?
Yeah, you don't believe half the things they say.
I don't believe James. James doesn't say he's hurt. Okay. And they don't say he's hurt.
Well, of course, I would like to believe he's hurt.
They'll have end-of-the-year physicals happen this week where they go, you know, all up and down the gamut to make sure, see what's what. So we'll find out probably this week of what that hamstring is.
We'll find it out.
I just don't believe athletes, coaches, or GMs, like, 65-70% of the things they say.
I don't believe there's going to be a ton of teams that would line up to give James Harden 3 at 90.
No,
he's going to have his pick of the litter at 3 at 90.
He'd have more than two.
Yeah, he'd have a couple.
You only need one, first of all, but you'd have more than two. I mean, how many teams even have that cap space?
That's one
of the reasons why the Sixers traded for him is because of the fact that they wanted to have this option
right. And
not wait until the offseason.
Hey, spring's finally sprung, and everybody's hanging out in the patio at your local PJ Wellahan's. Enjoy their favorite craft beers, happy hour specials every weeknight, and award-winning wings. PJ Wellahan's is where we hang for happy hours. So you should, too. So Drew Brees is another example of just because you were a great player doesn't mean you would make a great broadcaster. They literally just threw things at any time, had you seen Drew Brees interviewed, or I remember you said, man, Drew Brees, man, can't wait to hear what he's going to be like in the booth. I always thought he was one of the most boring, generic, like non-colorful players ever. And they tossed him the keys to one of the biggest jobs in sports, one of the top prominent analyst roles, and he was terrible at it. Based on nothing. They had done 2 games with Drew Brees. 2 mock games.
Yeah.
After they signed him. After they signed him, they said, you know what, let's just give Drew the contract, and then we'll do 2 mock games, and he'll be ready to go.
So, you know, do you remember when Jonas Cespedes hit the scene in Major League Baseball?
Yes.
And he was a revelation. And all of a sudden, the Cuban defectors started getting a massive amount of money. I mean, like, teams are throwing cash.
We got who? Miguel
Alfredo Gonzalez. Yeah,
Mag, there was, baby.
Like, Rusdy Castillo, who
your,
had...
Your ability to remember these names is classic. Well,
Mag was huge.
But at least Mag made the majors. Rusdy Castillo was a huge bust for Boston. All of a sudden, you don't really see that anymore. And I think that's going to happen with these former quarterbacks turned analysts. Because Tony Romo was so good when he first hit the market that teams were lining up to give Breeze and Brady, basically a blank check.
Brady's got $37.5 million.
Yeah, right. Well, if an average, you know, a slightly above average quarterback like Tony Romo can be this good, imagine what Drew Brees could be.
Do you believe there
they're
is,
not good? And I think this is going to die down pretty quickly.
Do you believe Tom Brady's going to be really good? Really good? No, either do I.
I think he's going to be good.
I think he's going to be pretty good.
I think he's going to be like any number two or number three analyst.
Who would you compare him to?
I think he's going to be a lot better than we think.
Like Buck or Aikman is probably the top former player.
He may be more likable than Aikman, like fun.
Aikman's pretty good. I like Aikman and Buck.
I like him.
But his personality isn't there. You know what I mean? Like he's a good former player.
Yeah,
but
Aikman, Romo, they didn't come out with personalities. Like, you didn't think, oh man, look at their interviews, how cool they were.
Tony's got a little bit
of
personality.
Tony always came out with personality.
I think Brady's good.
I think in his interviews when he was playing in the NFL, he didn't come off to me like, oh, he's this great, you know, he's fun and all.
I always thought he was glib.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of charismatic.
And sort of country boy. Like,
you don't get Skechers deals or whatever he had without it.
All shucks.
He got that after he played.
No, I think he had it in, didn't he?
He didn't do sketches.
All shucks, Tony Romo, I always thought was...
I think Brady's going to be good. I think he's going to show personality and have great, probably some of the best insight we've heard.
Just like Kevin Burkhardt getting the Fox games this year.
That's huge for him.
Yeah. He knows he's a really good play-by-play
guy.
Really
good.
Yeah, that's an interesting combo. I'm excited to hear them.
And he just decided it's going to be... Now, they're saying Brady will ascend to his partner, and it's going to be Olsen for this year. But they have to pay Olsen as a number one guy, even though they're going to have to demote him down to two when Brady comes in.
Great game for Olsen.
Yeah, Brady might not come in for two more years.
Correct. You don't know how long it's going to be.
I actually think Olsen does a pretty good job.
I think he does, too.
Yeah, he's good. He's got to get antiperspirant as opposed to deodorant.
He does sweat a lot.
He is good. I don't think he's over the top great. I don't think he's below average. I think he's good. Yeah, I like him.
I like these teams where the play-by-play guy does the play-by-play and the color guy does the color. It's a unique concept in today's day and age, but I'm enjoying it.
You.
Yeah.
You're going to miss Joe Buck.
No, Joe Buck will be, he'll still be doing the analysis because Joe, you know, was in the trenches. No, wait a minute, he wasn't. I'm sorry.
I mean, I've heard some bad analysis from guys that were in the trenches before, so.
It's a fair point.
We're supposed to
lose. Hey, by the way, Schlereth, I don't even know he had a heart procedure done.
Yeah.
Mark. So he's doing good, though.
He's one of my favorites.
He's doing good. He's doing back. Now, it's weird because people are all over the fence. I don't think that, I know Mike doesn't dig him.
I love Schlereth.
Mike doesn't dig. I think Schlereth's insight is great.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why I like him so much is because he can break down something that, I myself have a hard time evaluating, which is offensive linemen. I mean, I'm not good at evaluating anything, but I think I can, you know, I think I can figure out if a wide receiver is good, a quarterback's good, running back. That's pretty obvious. Offensive lineman, I have no idea what I'm looking at. He's really good at breaking down why this guy was so good in this pitch situation because he was one of them.
What I like is Stink cannot work an Eagles game for 3 weeks, but could get called to do this show and could tell us all about what the Eagles have been doing and how their offensive line looks and all that, the work that they put in.
Well, I mean, let's never forget when we had him on mid-season, and I think we asked him about Maialata, and he
was horny
for
Maialata.
He said he needed quiet time. Put a tie on the door and tell your wife
don't
to stay
come
away.
Knocking, babe. Watching Jordan's tape.
If this film's a rocking, don't come a knocking.
Hey, in Cooney's Corner, Bob had quite the weekend. He's going to tell us about it.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
So it was eventful, Bob, eh?
No way.
In a different way.
Congrats on all your success.
Okay, no, a different way. Okay.
We're not allowed to talk about stuff like that, Jamie.
There's some things that are for off air and some that are for on.
There you go. What was your weekend about, Bobby?
Well, I just thought the weekend watching these Game 7s and watching these playoffs, I hope that the Sixers just watch. And it's funny, Anthony and I were just texting a little while ago. I hope they watch the effort that had to be put forth in order to stay in these games and to compete in these games and to play in these games. Because if there was anything that totally differentiated, and I don't care teams that lost by 30 and 40 and you know, Milwaukee gets beat by 20-plus yesterday, all of those teams' efforts in those games up until the deciding factor, whether it be the second half, was way better than the Sixers at any point in games 5 and 6 for them. I mean, I've never seen anything like the lack of effort that I saw in games 5 and 6 by a team that were either facing elimination or, it doesn't matter, 2-2 series, whatever it was. If you guys did, let me know, because I did not see it in any games that I watched. The sheer lack of effort from beginning to end that the Sixers had in those two games. And that's why I say playoff teams 1 through 8, to me, it wasn't even a question that they were number 8 of the last 8 remaining.
No, it's not even a question.
Yeah.
They're not close to those teams.
I'm not saying that. But again,
no, as constituted, they're not.
But again, if...
Even with a healthy Embiid, right, they're not.
I don't know about that. I can't say.
I think they beat Miami with a healthy Embiid.
I watched the amount of... Those teams can pluck guys to... When they have so many guys can come in off the bench that energize them, change things up, be specialists. Sixers don't have that.
Yeah, but give Luka a torn thumb and a broken face. Give Giannis or Tatum a broken face and a torn thumb. Give any team superstar one of those injuries, let alone two of them. It's going to affect everything. So, again, I hate that we're here, but everything I view this postseason through
so is
we're
that
here always.
Hurt.
I agree with
this
you.
This is it. This is
so
the story.
I don't think
why are you optimistic for the future?
Because eventually he's got to not be hurt, right?
How do you say that?
I don't know.
Okay, every day I come. All right.
Right? Statistically, dating, he can't be hurt every year.
You're dating this girl. She cheats on you. Then the next month, you're dating her again. Everything's good. Oh, she cheats on you again. You know what? Eventually, she's going to stop cheating on me. No, she's not.
It's almost she's like not. Saying if a guy's a bad shooter... Every playoffs, he's a bad shooter. No, why do you think he's going to be a better shooter almost?
Because, well, the analogy of the cheating, that is her choice. Joel Embiid getting injured is not his choice.
But and we Joel talk Embiid about it being, happens
ooh,
every day,
roasted.
Right?
Yeah. He's not good at staying healthy.
But you can see a situation where he is healthy in a playoff.
Can you?
I can. You can't foresee a situation where Furkan Korkmaz is going to suddenly turn into Steph.
I cannot see a situation where he's going to not have some ailment that goes,
It's avoidable. It's believable. It's not a flaw in his game.
Yeah,
it's
shouldn't be that far-fetched.
And to Jamie's point, a lot of the injuries... Are flukish. Now some of them
are.
He's
got crappy bones.
Yeah, some of them are because of the flopping.
Constant flopping.
Yeah, like the thumb injury, okay, I mean, is it fluky? I don't know. But the broken orbital bone is fluky. That's avoidable. That's a fluke accident.
It was actually avoidable by your head coach.
Yeah, yes. He tore someone else's ACL.
I was just
going to
say, Danny Green should
falling.
Be pissed.
Yeah. I was smart enough.
I was Danny Green, I'd be furious.
I was smart enough to turn to Bob during game 6 and say, when they get the starters out of there, and then 3 minutes later, we lose the best player due to a stupid injury that could have been avoided. By the way, where was that question? In the postseason wrap-up? Doc, do you realize now how about keeping Joel Embiid in game? Will you learn from that in the future?
You should have hopped on the Zoom.
It's just interesting.
You should have hopped on. Why didn't you hop on?
I could have said, Doc, we know you're a Hall of Fame coach. With all due respect, you're a Hall of Fame coach.
John, you need to hop on these calls.
No, I was actually driving to the Sixers facility.
You need to be the voice for the voiceless.
To me with Anthony.
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Be about it. Doc, is it going to be different next year? I can't imagine you or Bob going to a press conference and prefacing a question with, all right, no disrespect meant by this question. But, Doc, you're a Hall of Famer, and Daryl, you're one of the most respected guys out there. I'm going to critique you a little bit. I can't understand where we are today with questioning.
Yeah, but in fairness, it's about that. That's where we are. Now, 20 years ago, when Bob and I are covering.
You never would have asked that.
Well, that wasn't
way.
The climate. It's a different climate now. I mean, they own you, right? Like, they can make it completely impossible for you to do your job. So. It's just a different climate. Like, it's like sports talk is completely different, right? Like when
totally
you,
different.
You know, like when we're listening, making our bones to Angelo and other guys. Like that is completely different, right? Like it was caustic. It was way more
personal.
Yes, like it's complete. Everything's the climate's different now. I will just say this, though, because I was listening to great conversation, boys, great conversation. I don't know where I am with, I got to tell you, I am so disenchanted with Harden. I completely disagree with Bro for the first time, completely disagree. He was a horrific point guard. Horrific. He didn't control tempo. He didn't calm his team down. He had lazy entry passes. He was horrible as a point guard.
He was the biggest turnover guy at point.
And I got to tell you, going forward, and by the way, I put the lion's share on him of this whole that whole series. The lion's share of Hart on
how?
Hart. I mean, how?
Because he didn't step up.
He didn't
up.
Do anything.
Embiid was hurt. That and affects he didn't everything. Step up. He's not Houston Harden anymore. People are like.
It's about Houston Harden.
How about
it's about, you're talking about playing the point guard. Dude, playing the point guard is about controlling. You talk about playing the real point guard, you control the tempo. You control. When your team is willy nilly, you calm them down. That's what a point guard does.
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm sorry.
He's excited.
I mean,
I want you to understand it. Like,
but
you,
I think
you slough it off like, oh, poor James. Bleep James.
No, I'm not poor James anything.
He was a Hossa before here. He wants to win. Well, let me see you be a winner.
Yeah, sure.
Well, he's not going to win squat with Joel Embiid hurt.
And by the way, if you take more than two shots, you got a better chance.
Wait a minute. Stop with that craziness.
Look,
he should take more than two shots when his team needs him?
Oh, my God.
He was asking games 5 and 6, but let's not act like every game was like that.
5 and 6 is when you needed him.
Because he scored that game. He had other good games.
No. He had one good game, game 4.
He had 14 assists in the Toronto series. Like, he had some good games.
I'm talking about the Miami series.
I'm talking about him as a whole.
As a whole, I think he had a very mediocre playoff.
No team in the NBA is going to win squat when your top player is where Joel Embiid was.
By the way, he got hurt in the last game, Joel. The thumb is not an excuse for Harden to not have played a more offensive-minded game.
He's the team's best player. It affects the point guard. I mean,
hold on.
Everything's tied together.
His thumb was fine. His thumb, he had one.
And then he had to play with a mask that he couldn't see out of.
But that was the Miami series.
Okay.
The Toronto series wasn't good.
He wasn't
3-4 and 5.
He wasn't terrible either.
3-4 and 5, he was terrible.
I expect more.
You got to expect more.
I'm running it back, and I hope he takes the 1 year.
I don't understand where all the optimism comes from.
They had 127 net offensive rating when they played together. It was the best in the NBA by 12 points. That's where the optimism comes from.
Stats, sing and dance.
It's not stats. That's points per 100 possessions.
See if that gets you to Broad Street.
I don't think Harden trusts his game enough to take it offensively where... You guys are saying that it had to be. I just don't think he has it in him.
Bob, you know better than anybody. He played a lousy point guard. He did not control the tempo for his team.
I thought the tempo should have been higher. Yeah, like they didn't.
Nobody
reacted.
You like those lazy entry passes?
No, nobody likes it. No, I'm saying it should have been. The game should have been
played
faster.
Like garbage.
I think people in
game 4.
I think people in Sixers Nation know so much is tied to James Harden. They don't want to admit what they're seeing because it means, oh, God, we got him.
I literally just brought up a one-way player thing about can you win with a guy like that. Chris Paul, Pat Beverly's on Get Up right now roasting him, saying that the NBA calls him Cone P3 because you get no defensive effort from him. Now, CP3 and James Harden might go down as two of the best players to never win, joining a Barkley and others. It's not that I'm letting him off the hook. I hope he's injured because it explains.
But you're expecting something better next year, and I don't see it.
Yeah, because I think he's injured.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I hope you're right, Doc.
I hope you are, too. When you do his exit.
Oh, I have to get so angry at me. I'm just talking about it.
Hey, support life-saving cancer research. Join us and our generous partner, Window Nation. Make a donation today to the AACR, the American Association for Cancer Research. Go to 975thefanatic.com/AACR because cancer research saves lives. We got a big Tuesday ahead of us. And we look forward to seeing the Phillies get back in action. Hopefully we get some good news on Bryce Harper, too, and more. It's the John Kincaid Show. Cuz Radio comes your way next. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. Window Nation's got you covered. You need your windows to be improved. You need those windows to stop costing you so much next winter. And how about the winter after that? How about saving money for 5 full years right now? You're going to get 0% financing for 5 full years when you make your deal with Window Nation. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com and then say, if I need 20 windows, Window Nation's going to make me pay for 10 because you get 2 windows free for every 2 that you buy. Plus, you're going to get over 1 million windows installed by this company in over $150,000 homes and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You know they can be trusted. You know that they are going to be successful for you. And with 0% financing for 5 full years, they're giving you a loan with no interest for 5 full years. So get on it now. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.